Hello, welcome back to Betch Lapped. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
We've been podcasting a lot.
Yes.
This is my second of three podcasts in a row this morning.
What was the first one that I was also on?
Dies Are Tomorrow, which we literally did. We have not even gotten up from these chairs.
Yes, but it's fun. We love it.
It was a fun episode. We talked about men and women and their differences in dieting and touched on a lot of mother stuff.
So guys, everyone, if you haven't subscribed, definitely subscribe. It's called Diet Starts Tomorrow. Okay, let's talk about like pop culture and shit and everything we've seen on Instagram and all this shit. Okay, why was everybody at the Taylor Swift concert?
Okay, like I thought like only 5-year-olds go to the Taylor Swift concert, but I'm so mad after seeing it on everyone's Instagram stories. It looked so good. First of all, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, not of the human, of the music mostly.
Okay.
And when I saw it, I was like, I was literally like dancing to people's Instagram stories. I was Claudia, girl with no jobs, Instagram stories. I was like, she really captured all the best parts of the best songs.
That's so legit funny.
Dancing in my apartment to this.
That's so, so funny.
I love her new album. I love Reputation. Despite
the only, I have like such, I don't know. Taylor Swift is fine to me. I like really loved Blank Slate when it came out because I watched the music video. What's Blank Slate? Blank Space. Yeah, I liked that.
I genuinely believe her music is crack. Like, I was listening to it at the gym yesterday, and the second I took it out of my ears, I felt a withdrawal from it. Like, I was like, I need to hear more Taylor. But I swear, it's like crack for your ears.
Anyway, the concert looked really fun.
Yeah, those snakes. She was like flying through the air.
Yeah.
She was like, it was raining. It was amazing.
Oh, in real life, it was raining. It wasn't effect.
No, it was genuinely raining. Yeah. Remember when we were getting sushi and other people are the Taylor Swift concert?
Yes, yeah.
That sushi was amazing.
That sushi was amazing. Yeah, that was really good.
The fatty foursome.
Yeah, sushi. It was at Sushi Dojo in New York City. It was fucking good.
Yeah, so while it was raining on everyone's Taylor Swift parade, we were
indulging
sushi.
Okay, more things that are happening on Instagram. Have you noticed that M. Rada, like Emily Ratajkowski or whatever, has been posting a lot lately? And it's usually very thirsty Instagrams that are like, there was one she posted of herself, of a paparazzi getting her, like, she had like a fire hydrant up her butt. She was like sitting on it and she posted that of herself. And it was like clearly like, okay, like here's a dick in my butt. And then I'm not like shaming it in any way, but it's starting to feel a lot to me that like there's some like insecurity situation, because I also saw in Just Jared there was like some paparazzi pictures of her, and she clearly was aware of them and she was sucking in so hard, and she was like standing in a way of like of to make her look like even skinnier than she is. And I don't know, I just had this like sort of sadness.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you on the insecurity, because first of all, where do you expect is going to happen to someone when literally the only thing anyone gives a fuck about them is how they look and is constantly complimenting on them on their body and their face? And then like, you're getting older. It's not like you're getting a new, more amazing face every day.
Yeah.
So like your only trick that you've been validated for is how you look. I personally feel that not only Emrata, but in general, the amount of thirst on Instagram has been like, I don't
extreme.
Know, extreme lately. Is it because it's summer? So there's like more bikini.
Moments? I think. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this makes me sound like lame, but I'm like just tired of seeing people's fucking boobs on Instagram. Like I don't like particularly ones that I've seen before many times. Like I just don't need to see your boobs. Like I'm bored of them. They bore me. There's nothing exciting about your fucking boobs anymore.
Yeah. I mean, again, like free the nipple, all this crazy shit, like be expressionist however you want. We're not slut shaming. We're not trying to say that, but I agree with you.
It's just like expression or slut shaming. I'm not even calling it slutty. I'm just like,
it's just like, I just don't, right.
I'm bored of, I'm literally like, it's the same as like, I'm bored of the same vacation photo in the Maldives. Like that's also,
I want to go to the Maldives. So do I. I'm going.
So why that I'm bored of everyone else's same photo. Like
right.
I've seen your fucking pictures at La Fontalina in Capri or wherever the fuck it is.
This is great. Like,
no, I know. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. I'm saying Emrata, there's nothing wrong with Emrata's boobs either. They're beautiful. They're perfect.
They're
just
perfect.
Amazing. But it's not about like, like that this is bad to post, like for some reason. It's just like I'm bored of it. Like right. I'm sick of it.
It's just like
seen it.
I just think it's not even that there's like so much boredom. It's like there's just okay, like we've got again. It. Let's you know, what else have we going on? Show me your apartment. Show me like how you design your apartment. And it just feels, I don't know, I just like get this feeling of sadness when I see these pictures, because it's like there's some of them that are happy, but then some are like posting like, I don't know. When I saw that paparazzi picture of her like really super sucking in and like being very aware of it, I mean, I would probably do the same thing, but there's no paparazzi taking pictures of me. Thank God. So
if I thought someone was like,
I would suck the shit in. Like I would move from a different angle. I would like be very aware of it. But I think that she was also sort of posing, and that's what made me a little bit sad. I don't know. If anybody else agrees, email us, slapped@betches.com, if you also see it. If you hate me for saying this.
Emrata doesn't do, like, she's not really, like, she's an actress. In what?
She was in Gone Girl.
Okay. That was known 4 years looks. Ago.
She was also.
4 years ago, and she.
She was in a recent thing. I watched it. And it
she had
was,
like an appearance in
no,
something.
No, she was an act. No, it was called. It was like with what's her name from? It was about this woman being blind, and this girl gets like she wasn't a good actress in it anyway, though.
Okay, regardless, you can't even come up. You can barely come up with a few other things she's done. So pretty much all she gets, all she gets validation from is about her looks. So that. It seems like a pretty depressing existence. Although I would be happy if I looked like Emrata, but I wouldn't so want happy. To like, but here's, I don't know. I just feel like the posting, it's not just her. I'm saying like in general, I think people are posting too much.
There's a lot of thirst of going on Instagram shit. And it feels like abundant.
Right. It feels like overdone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just a lot of thirst and it's like, it's always the same thirst.
Well, that's why I'm starting to think that like Instagram story is more engaging to me, because you get to see more of like a greater view into whatever people are like trying to show, rather than there's like more depth there rather than just like a photo Facetune picture.
Right.
You know, and right. I don't even scroll, and I like mindlessly scroll. I can't even like people's pictures anymore. I just don't give a fuck. And right. I just look at, but I like their stories and I like replying to people's stories.
Right. And I also feel like with like an Instagram photo, it's like you can't really show much personality.
Right.
Like you have to put in a little extra effort to show more personality. And then sometimes the thing that has personality might not perform as well, quote unquote, right. in terms of engagement, because it's not as like standard hot, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like a little bit riskier to show something like more genuine. But story, you can like really kind of like, you can just do whatever.
Yeah.
People are much more interesting on story.
Well, speaking of people that are slightly thirsty, did anybody, first of all, you started watching Who Is America?
Oh yeah. It's the best show.
It's that, so, okay. So Ali G.
I don't even know if I call it a show. It's more like performance art.
Ali G has made his comeback. The Ali G show, however, it's now in a new form. He has different characters and he like pranks people and asks them really absurd questions and makes them do really crazy shit that they don't know that they're doing. Okay, so the reason why we bring this up, it's on Showtime. There's only been 2 episodes. The second episode, it has Corinne.
Oh, I love that she doesn't even need a last name. She's like, Cher.
The funniest fucking thing. It was so good. They like make her. What,
okay, so
I love that Sacha character Baron guy.
Cohen acts like he's like some humanitarian guy.
Who's really rich.
He's really rich, and he wants her to like stage a commercial and a photo shoot for his charity, which is to like help kids with Ebola in Africa. So he starts doing this like, so they do a photo shoot where she looks like she's wearing
she's
like
a on a green
suit,
screen with a hazmat suit,
but with like her bra hanging out. Then he puts on like Fendi sunglasses and is like, they're sponsored. Like that she's sponsoring.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have collaboration with Miu Miu here.
Yeah. He's his bag. So that's one. That's the first part. Then the second part is a video interview. Where he asks her questions about like, so why did you go to Africa to like help these kids? And she's like, I don't know. I just did it. And then she's like, well, you were there for 3 months. And she's like, wait, but everyone's going to know that I was not there for 3 months. Like, what are you going to do? He's like, it's my charity. I tell them you were.
She was like, okay. And then she repeats what he wants.
But she continued to act as if she had gone to Africa to help the kids.
And then there was the massacre situation.
Oh my God. And then he's like, I heard that a warlord like stopped a whole massacre because he recognized you. He's like, how did that happen in his accent? And she's like, well, like he just recognized me. And I was like so shocked. And I think I was just really nice to him. So he didn't massacre anybody.
Yeah, like, none of this happened.
What the fuck? Yeah. Like she just played along as if that was real. And then later on, they show that the commercial, the quote unquote fake commercial that she filmed. And in the commercial, she's saying like all these ridiculous things and just not even like questioning so them.
Funny. Yeah. But that's basically like the whole show. Everybody should watch it. It's really funny.
It was so ridiculous. She is just like, oh my God, the pizza's here. I just heard the door. cauliflower pizza coming.
So. Everybody should watch it. Just at least that fucking scene. It was so, the part where I literally lost it was when he's like, okay, we need another guy to help with a green screen. And he has like this guy in all green in a hazmat suit, just holding up her, like her kerchief or whatever.
Oh my God. I'll be honest. Like when I was watching, my jaw was like on the floor. I was literally like, oh my
God. Yeah. You can't look away. It makes you feel so uncomfortable.
But not in a bad way. Like not uncomfortable the way I feel when I watch, like, I think the number one most uncomfortable thing I've ever watched on TV was watching Dr. Melfi get raped on The Sopranos.
Oh, I saw Dr. Melfi in real life. I saw her at the Billy Joel concert.
Right, I know. You already told me that. I'll pretend like I don't know.
Oh my God. I was standing next to Brian, Dr. Melfi in the elevator, and I didn't recognize her until she spoke. And I'm like, Tony.
Oh my God. One of my favorite characters on The Sopranos.
But yeah, that was the most disturbing.
So that's probably one of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen before The Handmaid's Tale, in which case I just can't watch it.
Okay, but
period.
That is acting. We're talking about real people just doing real things, and it's really embarrassing, and that's why I feel so uncomfortable watching it.
But uncomfortable good. Not uncomfortable bad.
Well, like that guy who like took his pants off, and I'm just like, no, stop it.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Anyway, everyone needs to watch it.
And honestly, the fact that like, so basically just to give you some background on the show, the point Sacha Baron Cohen is trying to make is that Americans are morons, like from all walks of life.
Yeah.
So he's basically
in Congress, pranking,
like he pranked Bernie Sanders. He pranked Ted Koppel. Ted Koppel did not fall for it. He got up and he was like, this is a waste of my time. He pranks like gun rights activists, which are the best scenes, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And he's just literally pranking random people to just show how dumb people are and how they'll like do anything for
the
like
burka searching.
Oh my God, the burka searching.
You guys have to watch it.
It's performance art.
I'm
like watching, I'm like, this isn't a TV show. This is something greater. It's just on a screen.
So also the funniest is Sacha Baron Cohen is so funny. When I was not in Mossad.
Oh yeah, his Israeli character is
so good.
It's because he's like a Jew. He's a Jew. And like, so he knows that type of person.
Ehad Mohan.
My name, Ehad Mohan. Like the fact that you can say my name is the most like accurate Israeli thing ever.
Ehad Mohan. Yeah. I am not from Mossad.
Okay, so let's do some emails.
Okay.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
Dear Betches, first time writing in, but dedicated listener, y'all make my summer internship a little less boring. I like when people use y'all. I wish I could pull it off. I'm about to enter my senior year of college. Go me. And I'm lucky because I changed my major a bunch, but I'm still graduating in 4 years. I'm graduating with a degree in geography, concentrating in earth science and GIS computer map making. Oh, GIS. In parentheses, computer map making. I'll graduate magna cum laude, and with both honors the Honors College offers, I want to be an environmental lawyer and work on climate change policy. I love this girl. However, here comes a problem. I don't have any money to keep going to school. I was fortunate enough to have parents whose goal was to put my brother and I through undergrad loan-free, but now I'm almost finished and school is my life. I don't want to live a life crippled by student loans like so many people do in the U.S. The Navy has a program that will pay for law school and pay you a salary through school, but then you owe them 6 years. So basically my life after undergrad would go 2 to 4 years in the Navy, 3 years of law school, 6 years in the Navy as a JAG attorney. I don't know what that is, but I assume some sort of Navy attorney. My friends and family are very divided on this issue. My friends think it's a no-brainer, but don't want to see me waste my academic career thus far on just becoming an officer. My family is a mixed bag between not saying anything and my mom being sad she won't see me as much as she does now. How do I know what to do? I'm an extremely practical person that sometimes I get myself into situations that are less than desirable, but look good on paper. I also think this could be a good option, but I'm having a hard time committing because of the general stigma around military women also. I want to still live a life and hopefully meet someone by the time I'd be out of the Navy at 33 plus. Thanks in advance, confused academic batch.
It's really intense. No one's ever asked us if they should go into the Navy or not.
Yeah, or like take on loads of student debt. Okay, we can't. Okay, if this were like my best friend asking, yeah, I feel like I could give an answer. But because we don't really know enough, like we just know the sentences you write in your email and like the extent to which those are like.
What would you do?
I would probably take on the debt. If I were really passionate about being an environmental lawyer, like if I truly was into this and like I would take on the debt and be the lawyer. However, this girl seems like she switched a bunch of majors a bunch of times. So like how truly set is she on being an environmental lawyer? I would say if you're not 100% set, you should not do the Navy thing. Not do the Navy thing, because then you get the law school for free, but your time is like pretty much taken away.
You could spend some time in the Navy, like sort of thinking about what you wanted to. I could never see myself in any type of like, I give so much fucking credit to women, especially who are in any type of military, Navy, Army, Air Force, anything like that. I don't have the stomach for that. Like even just boot camp.
I barely have the stomach for Barry's. Barry's is fine. But like,
but yeah, like that.
Imagine Barry's so, every day, all day.
It's so incredible. Like I just, if I were, I can't give it. I can't give advice on this because I. Like that's really a difficult situation. I would probably take on the loans because then you have more years that you could pay them off.
Right. Plus you don't have to be a lawyer to pay off the loans. You can find another way to make money to pay off the loans. Like you could get a corporate job that pays you, you know, $70,000, whatever it is. And you could pay off loans that way. I think ultimately the loans are less limiting because there's like, it doesn't take your time and there's no stipulation on what you have to become to pay them back. So like you could become an environmental lawyer or you could become like, but if you're doing this Navy thing, like you have to be in the Navy and do that thing.
And I think that like, we can't just even call it the Navy thing. Like it's the fucking Navy. Like there is serious commitment that comes with that, and it's hard. And I feel like if you want to go into the Navy, you probably need to have like the dedication to be in the Navy. You know what I mean?
Right. I think you should go into the Navy like if you wanting want to go into the Navy, not as like your backup option.
Yeah. Not just a way of getting law school for free.
Yeah. Right. It's sort of not an equal trade-off because it's so much time, whereas law school is only 3 years, and then you just owe money. You don't owe time.
Yeah.
Time is, in some ways, more valuable than money.
Yeah, because then you also have more time to pay off for that money or make that money.
Right. Like you could, I would say go with the loans and then see if maybe, like, if you don't, like, if after a year of law school you don't want to be a lawyer even, you can, like, go get a job and then pay off just 1 year of the loans.
Right.
True. I just think more options, whereas, like, the Navy to pay for law school is only the Navy, like, but you have so many different ways you could like repay that debt.
Yeah.
If you take the loans.
Okay, let me read the second one.
Yeah.
Betches, when thinking of whom I can reach out to, I could only think of you as I listened to your podcast and there's been women in similar situations as mine. Around 2 years ago, I met a group of women at a book club in my age group, over 30, in which we immediately bonded and became close friends. Texting was regular, meetings at least once a week for wine nights. It was great to have people around my age, not married and in similar situations as me, because all of my other friends were married, younger, or we just drifted apart. Anyway, as months went on, the group suddenly ghosted me without much explanation. I was very hurt, and I'm one of those people that need closure and an explanation. Most people need that. To this day, I never got it, but I had my suspicions about what happened. Cue to last year, one of the women apologized for cutting me out and hoped we could move forward. The problem is because of social media, I see posts of everyone out and about minus me, and she just hangs with me separately. It bothers me to see them all out. I don't know if I should or could trust this woman and maintain a friendship knowing the rest are probably gossiping and leaving me out of their lives. What would you do? Help. This is very hard to decipher. So what's
okay?
What was the reason she was cut out?
It's not clear. She doesn't know. This is hard. Female friendships after college, I would say after age 25 particularly, are so hard. And I feel like this sort of thing is like, whether it's this specific story or something similar, this kind of thing is like very difficult and painful. But I think for like think about it, like most of your friends you knew before you were like,
yeah,
18 even, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think with this though is like, okay, unfollow them on Instagram. Don't try to like follow the lives of people who cut you out. Unfollow them. Stop following. Don't look at what they're doing. Don't make them part of like your think space, you know. Mm-hmm. If this woman wants to be your friend, ask her, like, I don't know, ask her,
why did they cut me out?
Why are we friends? Why did they cut me out? And if you could trust, like, why? I mean, nobody's like out to get you here. Like, I don't think this is like a trust issue. If this woman is maybe just feels bad and she just wants to be friends with you, I think that's okay. But like you're saying that knowing the rest are probably gossiping about you and leaving you out of their lives. I mean, here's the thing. You can choose to decide to cut them out all out fully. That might be the best move. And then you don't have to think about it ever again. And then concentrate on like doing you, like start your own book club with other people. Like, yeah. I don't know, you know, work on like being a better version of yourself. And instead of like harping on what other people think of you, and then they'll stop gossiping immediately because they won't give them anything to gossip about.
Also, like if you're people who are over 30 and like gossiping, most of their conversations consist of gossiping and like other people who they like weirdly ostracize randomly, like they have something wrong with them.
Yeah, like you're hasn't anyone seen Desperate Housewives?
Yeah. Like you're not the person with something wrong. They're the like I don't know, maybe you do have something wrong, but like but what I mean is like what you're saying about them, like they have something wrong with them. Like they have a problem. They are unhappy because all they can do is sit around and talk about other people.
Like unless you did something that you're not self-aware enough to know that you did that made them cut you out, like that's another option. Maybe you can think about that. But if you really can't rack your brain, I would just move on and not let that they're like,
well, ghosting. You can find out by asking the woman who's your friend, like the woman who's still your friend. You can find out, and if the answer is
I'm actually surprised that this woman hasn't told that you haven't asked her. This is why there's something.
Well, she said cut to last year. One of them apologized for cutting me out and hope we could move forward. But like, what was that conversation?
Yeah.
Like, weren't you like, but why?
Exactly. I would just either like do a full cutout of everyone of the whole situation.
You like life is so fucking short, and you just don't need to be with people who make you feel anxious about what they're talking about behind your back. Like, what is the point of that?
So irrelevant to what you should be focusing on.
Yeah.
All right, let's play some games.
Okay.
Would you rather attend a Taylor Swift concert every night for an entire month or be banned from ever seeing a Taylor Swift concert?
How far is the Taylor Swift concert from my house?
I don't 30 minutes.
If it's 30 minutes, fine, every night.
Okay.
if it's for an entire month, 30 minutes for a month. If it's more than 30 minutes, never.
Yeah.
I literally
don't give a shit.
I don't like to travel for.
Yeah, I think I'd rather just be banned.
Right. Yeah. If it was convenient, I'll go.
Yeah, I just.
But you have to attend the concert. Can I sell my tickets or can I like.
Go to a concert. No, you have to go.
I also, I can't go to a concert every night.
That's, yeah. For a month only, though.
Oh my God. When I was in San Francisco and went to a concert like 4 days in a row, I'm like, oh, we're doing this again? Like literally again?
Yeah,
I just did this.
It's a lot of standing. Okay.
It's a lot of standing. Okay. When you're 50, would you rather be more like Ramona Singer or Bethany Frankel? Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh, really good one.
Okay. They're both crazy.
And they both have lots of shit.
Lots of shit. I think I'd rather be Bethany because even if she's a bigger bitch, Ramona's still also a bitch. So it's like just because you're a bitch on a lower level doesn't mean that like, you know, you.
I and at least don't Bethany's know like, how to answer this. It's almost like, would you rather be ignorant and like happy or like just fully self-aware and sort of unhappy? And I think that Bethany, I truly think Bethany's having a hard time. She has a hard life. Like she's severe control issues. She's like, she has restraining order against her husband. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to be either, but I sort of would like pick Ramona.
But here's the thing. They both have a lot of the same qualities. Bethany just has them like a little more self-aware and is more successful.
I'd rather be Bethany.
She's like, Bethany's like smarter and more successful, which is those are, I mean, maybe that's because those are qualities I consider myself to have, but like I would want those more than I would want Ramona's, which is basically just that like she's aging very well.
Okay, let's do one shoot, fuck, marry.
Okay.
Okay. Sasha Baron Cohen, Chris Pratt, and Steve Carell. Ooh.
This is hard.
Very difficult. This is very difficult.
I know, because they're all good. Oh my God. I would fuck Chris Pratt.
I would marry Steve Carell.
Yeah. I guess I would shoot Sasha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. I would marry Steve Carell. He's like, he's a top guy.
Okay, fine.
Michael, if he could do Michael Scott, all improv.
I am Michael Scott.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks so much, everyone. Don't forget to listen to all of our other podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe this one. Tell all of your friends. And don't forget, our book, When's Happy Hour, is now available for pre-order. So go look it up on Amazon, When's Happy Hour. I think you can go to betches.co/WHH.
Yeah. It's a little mint book. It's really pretty.
It's an amazing book. And okay.
Bye.
Bye.